Please note that this podcast contains information regarding sensitive events, including domestic violence, assault, and abuse, as well as other triggering events such as murder. This podcast is intended for mature audiences. When Alice jumped down the rabbit hole, she immediately regretted her decision. A rabbit hole is a metaphor for something that transports someone into a troubling, surreal state or situation. Welcome to Afterglow, Unveiling of the Idaho Cult. This podcast will take you down the deepest of rabbit holes as it unfolds. This story is so compelling, so bizarre, and so heinous, it's impossible to look the other way. Chad Daybell and Lori Ballow were dedicated in the most horrible way to an ideology that should only be fiction. Instead, their ideology put them behind bars. Join us as we explore the lives, lies, and diabolical crimes of Lori Ballow and Chad Daybell. I'm your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, and welcome to Afterglow, the Unveiling of Idaho Cult, Season 1, Episode 5, Charles Vallow, Part 1. Today, I have a co-host with me. He's one of my longtime subscribers and a member of my YouTube channel at Left Undone. Robbie knows this case really well. He has a lot of insight when it comes to Chad and Lori's belief system. And don't worry, we will get to Chad in the next episode. But today, we're going to focus on Charles. Welcome, Robbie. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kathy, for bringing me aboard. I'm super excited to be here and look forward to doing my very best to help shed some light on a very dark and murky case. Being born and raised there in Utah County, I think that my insights might be very helpful, and it's going to be a lot of fun chasing down all the various characters and rabbit holes there are. So, yeah, I'm super excited, and thanks for inviting me, and I think this is a great place for me to jump in and start with you, because I, as we discussed, first ever foray into YouTube content creation was a video about Charles Vallow and how this poor man just couldn't get help from anybody, no matter who he asked, right? So, yeah, excellent time for me to jump in. Like I said, thanks for bringing me in. I'm super duper excited.
Awesome. Welcome. So glad you're here. It's really nice to have a co-host, so I'm not just talking to myself for once. So thank you.
Yes, yes. Did you want to just jump right into when Charles got home and multiple police with law enforcement, basically getting home from the airport to find that...
No, well, first, let's just go back a little bit, because there's a little bit of background that I think we should bring everybody up to speed on first. Yeah. So we'll definitely talk about that, because that's like the main thing that really shows you what went on and how horrific this case became and what could have been done to stop it in hindsight from being just a serial killer of murders.
Literally.
You know, after this. Yeah.
Literal serial murders.
September 23rd, 2018, Lori met a man by the name of Chad Daybell. Now, we will get back to Chad, but it's important to know that he exists in this whole thing if you're new to the case and you haven't been following it before. She met Chad, Lori Vallow met Chad, and Chad is a longtime LDS member. Once she met Chad, she started falling into this delusional ideology, the stuff that made her mind start just really going crazy, in my opinion.
All the extra stuff that is not a part of the traditional LDS doctrine. She adopted some extra beliefs, which we will get into as we jump down these rabbit holes. But yeah, very ultra interesting ideology. And thanks for kind of refreshing me that we do need to, you know, definitely set the scene on those two meeting. I believe they met in St. George at a Preparing a People event. Their first meeting. And Mel Gibb was there, I'm pretty sure. She was one of the main people there. And I'm pretty sure Zulema, too, right?
I believe so.
I can pull
And
that.
Later, all these people will really come into play where you'll see where how many people were really involved in this whole thing. I know Melanie Gibbs and Lori became friends through this whole, you know, I guess in Melanie Gibbs' hometown, Lori visited a class that Melanie Gibb was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they began their friendship. And then her newfound friend, Melanie Gibb, had a recurring podcast with Jason Mao. So
right, in Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm. We'll get to Jason Mao, too. You guys are all going to have to remember there's a lot of characters that come into play here as we move on. But in a previous episode, there was an audio clip of Lori saying she wanted to kill Joe Ryan, Tylee's father. That was from that podcast that she had with Melanie Gibb and Jason Mao.
In October of 2018, Lori accompanied Mel G on the road trip to St. George, attended a religious conference. That is when Melanie saw a man she knew, frequent speaker at the gatherings, and End of Times fiction author Chad Daybell. So Chad had already kind of established himself within the LDS prepper community as a quote-unquote fictional a writer. And that's something, too, that's really interesting. In one of the interviews that we're going to end up getting into later down the road, somebody refers to Chad's books as fiction and that she does not read fiction and she despises fiction, which I find hilarious because once you learn about what is in these god-awful books, you realize that to Chad, they're not so much fiction. You know, it's more of that you really see how the Dungeons and Dragons and the make-believe and... You know, I really feel like it's embarrassing for traditional LDS folks. I think that they should come out and denounce this man and what he's done. Anyways, we'll get into all that as well. We're going to actually talk a little bit here in our discussion about how after these two meet, Lori and Charles, their relationship sort of starts to rupture, and you can tell that Lori is moving away and kind of pulling away from Charles, and that's where we're gonna kind of look at some of the police body cam video of Charles talking to law enforcement about the situation, pleading basically for his life and now ultimately the lives of his two children and really his family. He wanted his family and he wanted everything to be okay, and it was really just tragic. And so we're gonna cover that.
Yeah. So, and then that, and we got to understand that Chad Daybell has a huge part in all this, even though we haven't really talked about him, but he did have a wife by the name of Tammy, and they have five children who at the time were, I think they were all adults at the time that Lori and Chad met. So, Lori, I guess, was completely entranced by Chad when she met him. She was attracted to him on the spiritual level, and they started communicating behind Charles' back. Even as early as October of 2018, Chad was emailing Lori, telling her that her daughter, Tylee Ryan, was a dark spirit, that her ex-husband, who was dead, Joseph Ryan, was dark and sealed away. And even then, at that point, he said JJ was a light spirit. He gave them all ratings. It's super weird and creepy to be rating people dark and light. And we'll get into that. I keep feeling like everything we're saying, we'll get into that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just because there's so much. And, you know, just looking at some of our show notes here directly ahead. Yeah, we talk about the actual, why don't we just dive into those spirit ratings? Chad would rate people on like a one, was the five being the deep end of the scale? Or did it actually go to 10? I feel like these all go to five.
I think it went to five.
And they're
five.
They're all like point systems. So like Tylee, 4.1, dark spirit. You're like, what? What, excuse you? And to me, Kathy, that just goes to show that Tylee was so smart and she was witty and she just wasn't buying what Chad Daybell was selling. I really don't think so. And, you know, I get, after we've reviewed all the case information, I just get the vibe that, you know, she was such a team player for her family. And, you know, just the utter betrayal from Lori, her mother, is just breathtaking and so tragic. But, yeah, good old rating system there. What are your thoughts on the rating system from Chad Daybell, Kathy?
I mean, the first time I saw it, I thought, you got to be freaking kidding me right now. These are real people that believe this is real. Like, you can rate people. You just have this power to rate people and decide they're dark or light. I'm still flabbergasted that that's a thing. Actual real adult women and men that were like, yeah. Yeah,
I can't wait to review the spiritual warfare text messages from the dump where she's saying like, yeah. Oh, you're doing so good. You're like in there. So they have these quote unquote spiritual wars, which we are going to talk about. Another thing to add to our list of things we're going to talk about. And just to add a little context the random comment I made was, there's these interviews that have all been dumped from FOIA requests in Chandler, Arizona. And anybody following this case has kind of been following some of the interviews that have come out. But in one of these text messages, it basically reads like almost like a video game, like, go ahead and cast your spell to cast out evil spirits now. And then like they were like literally like LARPing, like live action role playing, like out this just bizarre scenario. So just to piggyback to what you were saying on who are these people? How could they believe this kind of crazy stuff? That's who we're dealing with. That is the likes of Chad Daybell and our good friend Lori Vallow, our infamous, Lori Vallow, I should say. Not so good friend.
Yeah, what's really funny about that, you know, I just picture it in my head, like, you know, them going out the door like they're going to Bible study and something, and then they're holding hands, doing, like, incantations.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, it's like so
I mean,
weird.
How...
Do you remember, and this will come into play later, but do you remember that Zach... Okay, so Charles and Lori had a nephew that was living with them at the time, and his name was Zach. When all this stuff started getting really weird. And Zach said he walked in one day when Lori and all her friends were having their little meeting and they all just went complete silent. And now that I'm thinking of that, they're probably in the middle of casting spells at that moment when he walked in.
You know
in.
What? You're probably right. He probably walked in on the middle of a seance. They were, you know, probably really busy and he interrupted something that he wasn't supposed to interrupt. And I'm surprised that there's not more coming from specifically Zach. It was interesting to see he did finally interview, but there's just been so much information that's just been squelched. And I can't wait till we start moving both Chad and Lori's cases through the court system, because that's when a lot of this information that we don't have is going to be revealed. Looking forward to that, of course. I know you are. I know everybody is. Everybody's looking forward to justice for these two kids.
We've all had to adapt for the last year and a half to a new normal, wearing masks, social distancing, just to name a couple. But normal life and normal routines changed. And during that time, I started ordering my groceries through Instacart. You can shop all your favorite stores on a single order, the products you love from your local stores. These products can be delivered in as fast as 1 hour. Instacart highlights deals to help you save money, and Instacart will pick the freshest produce and they'll keep your eggs safe too. My 84-year-old mother orders Instacart like once a week. One day, she even had a microwave and toaster show up. So you can see that you can just order anything from Instacart. It isn't just food items. You can help support this podcast by clicking on the link in the show notes below. Plus, you can get free delivery on your first order of $10 or more.
I have a question. Is this like Amazon, but better? Because, I mean, that sounds amazing. a microwave and what else?
Yeah, a toaster? They literally, you go order a toaster because she decided,
I mean, no, I get it. I think it's very endearing.
It was here the same day.
You go.
See, because she did her order through Walmart.
You go. Like, okay, you go, tech grandma. You get down with your bad self, man. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. So, 11 of 2018, Charles goes out of town for business. While he was away, Lorihor, that's a play on the name Korihor from Book of Mormon, which is basically the Antichrist. So, very fitting that we call her Lorihor. I find that very fitting, anyways, personally. That she decides to hold a spiritual conference at their home in Arizona. And so Chad traveled to Arizona from Rexburg, Idaho, and, you know, to attend this event with their group, and spent the night in the home of Charles and Lori. How interesting, interesting, interesting. So as you can see here in, you know, November, as early as November of 2018, we've got Lori majorly crossing the line. In that same month, Chad tells Lori his revelation that they had been married in a previous life. And Lori was drawn to that idea. She was intrigued by it. Chad also tells her of another revelation of his being. The two of them handpicked by God to lead the elect group of 144,000 souls, who would usher in the end times and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Chad claimed the righteous would gather near his home in Rexburg, Idaho. The people of the 144,000 will move there. They will be in tents and camps, but not Chad and Lori. They will have fancy, approximately $120,000, two-story with basement rambling, including garage, two-car garage homes with a nice backyard big enough to have a fire pit and a shed and all kinds of nice things, places on your property to do cool things like have a pet cemetery and basically a farm. Is it a farm that he has there? It's like a farm almost, right?
It's like a mini farm.
I get that vibe because I remember Tammy loved animals and I could totally see... Like, I think I remember seeing some pictures early on, Tammy, and it's got that farm life kind of vibe to it. Anyways. So.
Yeah. But, you know, I picture Lori when they said that they won't be in camps because there's something that's like, we won't be in tents because we don't like camping.
Right.
I could picture Lori being like, oh, gosh, well, I don't know about that, Chad. Like, why would you have to be in tents? Oh, no, no, not us, Lori. Not us. No, no, not us.
Yeah.
We're special.
We're special.
We're the king and queen, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But everybody else will be out back
in
the tents.
And that's why they, you know, Chad's like, I've got two houses already that are perfect. We'll be living like kings and queens. I mean, which, yeah, in the terms of the 1800s, you know, those homes are great. Yeah, I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I'm just trying to say... No. Well, what I am trying to say is I don't understand Lori's, like how she values men. Like, she went from living in million-dollar homes with Charles Vallow, very, very noted. Like, this man paid a lot of money in tithing to the Mormon Church. Kresha just busted out a number yesterday on her stream of $15,000 in 1 year to the Mormon Church in Hawaii. That's a lot of freaking bread just to give to your church and... in my opinion, anyways, you know, and so, like, for her to, like, that's why when I'm, like, I wasn't poo-pooing Chad's properties just to be a snot. I was doing it because I don't understand how Lori's, like, in her value system, like, Charles in the gay community is what we would call a daddy, you know, he's a very good-looking, successful
Charles
yeah. excuse mm-hmm. me very very
yeah. no that's what okay. you said
very very money-minded business oriented all accounts very very good in business and such, and I just don't understand how Lori could go from Mr. Wonderful, and you know, I bet there's millions,
dude, he's a catch.
Yeah.
If I met Charles right now, I'd be like, yes. Hey.
That's, I mean, millions of women in this country are dying to know, what was it, Lori? Like that, what right? was it about Mr. Wonderful Daybell that you just, the
he got you in his trance? Was it when he talked extra quiet and soft and slowly that made you feel like he had more wisdom
than the man who put you in million-dollar homes? You, ugh. Anyways.
And you know she's very superficial.
That's what I don't understand, you know? So, yeah, I digress. I just, you know, I wanted to make the point to say I am definitely, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm not trying to talk crap about, you know, Chad's stature. I just don't understand the value Lori saw. Maybe, and I guess we'll get into it. So it's probably the religious aspect of it, right? She saw Chad as a more religious, yeah, valuable.
Well, she thought she was this immortal, special person. And I think that played a part bigger than her,
yeah,
you know, nice cars and houses, because she goes going to be the king, the queen of the whole entire everybody, you know?
I think you're right.
So that was got to, you know, so that to her was more important than, she probably figured she could have nice cars and stuff once she was the queen too.
Like, yeah. That'll all be part of it. Yeah. That's a really great point, yeah, that you're making. And, you know, Chad probably, you know, was, I think, you know, after you made that point, like he, like what he had to offer her was exhilarating in her mind. You know, she had already had nice lifestyles and, you know, had already done, you know, achieved X, Y, and Z with, you know, Charles Vallow. You know, Charles wasn't offering some intriguing, exciting Dungeons and Dragons fairy tale, James and Elena style. You know, for her to be caught up in a whimsy way. That's a whole different other story. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
The James and Elena.
She needed something more than, it wasn't just the lifestyle and the superficial things and the fact that Charles was a good catch and converted to Mormonism for her and, you know, was a good father to all three of her kids, by all accounts, even Colby. He took care of Colby is very good, as much as a step parent ever could, you know, like, it's just bizarre to me. So
yeah,
anyway,
for sure.
And
right after all that came down about they're gonna be in charge and all that stuff in the tents and all that, they decided Chad and Lori went to the temple in December of 2019, the LDS temple, and they did basically like a do-it-yourself sealing ceremony, even though they were both still married to other people.
December 2018.
They sealed themselves. Yeah.
You said 2018. Because we're still back when they first.
Okay. So in December 2018, the two of them, married to other people, Tammy and Charles, decided since they were married so many times before, they could just go ahead and be sealed in the LDS temple. And I guess this is something that LDS does. It's not like just a regular wedding. They're sealed for eternity.
So basically, so being sealed to your family, I'm not LDS, so full disclaimer, this is just my understanding of it. And I've been raised in Utah County, and I know a lot of family friends and people in my orbit are LDS and LDS adjacent. So just my general understanding. So if I flub any of this, please don't kill me in the comments. Don't at me on Instagram. I'm sorry. So here goes. It's a temple ordinance that once, you can get sealed to your family, like your whole family is sealed together, which basically is a concept that in the afterlife, you guys will be sealed together in your family in eternity, so nothing will ever separate you, is the idea. And I guess that's the same thing for marriage. So when you get sealed in as a man, you can be sealed to multiple women. So it's very patriarchal. It's like, oh, okay. Like, so for Chad, for instance, Chad now has two wives. One of them is a heavenly mother already doing her work on the other side of the veil. And his new wife here on this side of the veil is Lori. And they've got a different mission there. They were working on with, like we were mentioning, with getting the gathering of the 144,000 in Rexburg, Idaho. So this is a great part for me to, I guess... Do you feel like I explained that adequately enough? The sealing. Mm-hmm. So it's a temple. It is a ceremony. from my understanding, and they basically just seal you to your wife for all eternity. And for me, it very much looks like a property thing. Like, she's your property. That's what, like, yeah. Just observationally, that's what it looks like to me. And I don't like how that, right. And I've never liked the vibe, because in LDS culture and stuff, and growing up there and stuff, like, you know, when the woman gets left behind, there was a comment made. I think somebody reported that Chad had said, you know, Tammy, or not that he said he did her a favor, because that would be admitting that he killed her, but it was fortunate that she had passed, because she would have hated the societal shame of becoming a divorcee. And not only that, I don't even think Chad, that's why that wasn't an option. That's why it wasn't even an option for Lori, where they want to practice the purest version of their religion that they can, at least from what I can observe. And so that wasn't even an option. And furthermore, to add to the sealed to your, you know, partner for all eternity, in Chad's mind, he's thinking, Tammy, it's been fun. You know, 5 kids, 30 plus years, wonderful life together, went to the same high school, blah, 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 blase, blah. You've got work to do on the other side of the veil. I just talked to your Aunt Lucille. So, bye-bye, you know, and surprise, she disappears. And, you know, I'm sorry, but just how Garth said he heard a thump, and I heard a thump, and I ran upstairs, and oh, God, the story just reeks. And, you know, it's just, so back to the ceiling, right, and the ceiling themselves in the temple. So you brought up the point of how they, Chad and Lori, according to the story, allegedly had sealed themselves in the temple to each other. And that was actually done via Jason Mao, from my understanding. Speculative. We were all speculating, but.
Right.
And he's the one who is still, they still sell his books at the LDS bookstore, Deseret Book. They still, he actually is employed by the LDS church as a seminary teacher. So don't know if you're sending your kids to be learning from him, but if you are, yikes. But now that I've veered off track and I've kind of explained a little bit about sealing, all that kind of stuff, from at least my understanding of it, just a way for you and your family to be together in the afterlife eternally. And it's a really nice concept. It's really, a lot of the concepts in, by the way, in Mormon theology are very nice. It's not like a lot of this stuff is really, truly ugly. It's just the stuff like the woman is property. I personally am like, ugh, I don't like that. And, you know, there's other stuff, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But the next thing here in our show notes is, who is the angel Moroni?
Because they said that Moroni was the one that performed the sealing and Jesus Christ was a witness. So,
okay. Yes. Okay.
We don't really probably have to explain who Jesus is.
Okay. Yeah. We know who Jesus is.
Yeah. most of us do.
Most of us know. Hopefully.
We're not going down that road, Robbie.
Just stay here, Robbie. Okay, so part of the doctrine that is not believed by common LDS is the multiple mortal probations and being able to have multiple, like, basically reincarnation is the gist of it, from my understanding. And so that was, you know, Chad's, that's also what he told his wife Tammy when, allegedly, when they met, is that they were also married in a previous life. And wasn't it, didn't Julie say that he told that to her too? Like, I feel like Julie would say anything, but like, didn't she say that?
Yeah, and we haven't even touched on Julie Rowe, but again,
it's almost like this is his line.
Keep that name in mind.
Yeah, but this is like his line that he gives to everybody. If you are in Chad's radar as a romantic love interest, you are most likely to have been married to him in a previous life. And not only that, you may have been married and your identity, like, he said that he was like James the Just, wasn't it? In one life, or yeah. I mean, we'd have to pull up the documentation, the actual, you know, to see what they were saying about each person. But he had some pretty outlandish beliefs about living multiple mortal probations. And part of that has to do with having the angel Moroni, right? Who I believe would be, in this case, Jason Mao, who in, also in Chad Daybell ideology, if you go into his, you know, his, I don't know if it's a, what, I don't know what kind of document that was. It wasn't necessarily like a manifesto. It was like, I mean, and you know, it, the, you know, I guess the letter is the only thing I'm, the, you know, the document I'm thinking about. It's not necessarily a manifesto, but I guess Chad Daybell's ideology, he said that Jason Mao was the angel Moroni in a previous life.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's, I believe, how we were able to link the fact that Chad and Lori had been sealed by Jason, because... So, yeah, fun fact. Chad just knows everybody who you were, you know. He'll show up to your house, he'll bust out a pendulum, he'll, you know, do a little dance, make a little love with your wife, and, you know, probably tell you who you were in your previous life. It's all good. It's completely above board, and I'm sure the LDS leaders are in love with Chad Daybell and all he's wrought. To the Rexburg, Idahoan community.
We were talking about the ceiling. I was looking. There's text messages that have been released between Zulema and Lori, where Lori's asking how she got. I just saw that this weekend. How that Lori was asking how she became unsealed, or forget what the wording was, because I was asking them about
exalted.
It. Because, and then that's
Translated.
It wasn't, it had to do with the sealing to her other husband so that she could be sealed to Chad.
No, I have not.
It was just in one of those videos. Oh. I'll have to find it for our next episode. Yeah,
we'll have to get into that. That's interesting. And before I skip past this in the show note, because I did kind of do a high level overview of who the angel Moroni is in context to the part of the story we were telling about them getting themselves sealed in, I believe it was the Hawaii temple. Anyway.
No.
Was it not Hawaii?
No.
Okay, so Robbie, you're misinforming.
No, it was. I believe that they got sealed, you know, when she Charles was still alive.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes. So it wasn't. So, it wasn't when they got married. Okay. I'm thinking.
They got sealed before
Yeah, no,
they got
I'm
married.
I'm sorry, because I know that they, I think they went to the temple when they were on the run.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, they did too, but that's way down the line.
Yeah, that was way down the line, excuse me. Anyway, so before I get too clear off into left field here, like, so we talked about who the angel Moroni was in context of that part of the story, but for anybody who didn't know, any listeners out there who are not Mormon, the angel Moroni, and it's pronounced exactly how I just said it, Moroni, it's an angel whom Joseph Smith reported as having visited him on numerous occasions, beginning September 21st, 1823, way back in the day. According to Smith, the angel was the guardian of the golden tablets that were buried in the hill Cumorah, near Smith's home in Western New York. Latter-day Saints believe the plates were the source of the material for the Book of Mormon. An important figure in theology of Latter-day Saint movement, Moroni is featured prominently in the Mormon architecture and art. Besides Smith, the three witnesses and several other witnesses also reported that they saw Moroni in visions in 1829. Moroni is thought by the Latter-day Saints to be the same person as the Book of Mormon prophet warrior named Moroni, who was the last to write in the golden plates. The book states that Moroni buried them before he died after a great battle between two pre-Columbian civilizations. Excuse me. After he died, he became an angel who was tasked with directing Smith. Yes, that's right. His sole task by God was to direct Joseph Smith to the plate's location in the 1820s. And according to Joseph Smith, he then returned the golden plates to the angel Moroni after they were translated. And as And as of 1838, Moroni still had the plates in his possession, never to be seen again.
See, and then this is interesting to me because, and I mean no disrespect to the LDS religion, but this kind of shows me where Chad can pull that from. Like people have these visions, yep, and they're special and they can see these things and only certain people are that. And Joseph Smith was that.
Yep.
And so to say, oh, I'm that way too. Yep. I'm as important as Joseph Smith was.
Exactly.
And believe that Joseph Smith was this, you know, he was the,
you know,
person that started the whole LDS church. So I can see where you might be able to be kind of pulled. And I'm Christian, not LDS at all. So I don't want to make any, I don't want to insult anybody, but I just, we don't have that. You know what I mean? So I can see where if you really are a true LDS member and believer of all of this, their basic religion beliefs, that you might be able to be
believe in the conned. Extra stuff. You easily could.
You might be able to be conned. Yeah. I mean, by Chad Daybell.
Julie Rowe or somebody sells else. Out every time she books a Salt Palace, you know? So there's, yeah. There's a lot of people out there that are giving, that are buying what these folks are selling. And it's interesting because it reminds me of when Gumshoe Graham was still doing her videos. And, oh man, I miss her and I hope she's doing okay. She'd get so fired up and she like, in her New York accent, I can't do it justice. She would get so upset about, I can't believe how someone would do this to their family. How could they have such belief system that would do this to their own family members? It just like, she would just really get in. And it was like, you know, I'm with you, Gumshoe Graham. And like Kathy just said, guys, when you look at what they believe in a basic sense, yeah, it's not that hard to do a little stretch and say, you know what? Maybe Chad is just like Joseph Smith. Who knows? Maybe Chad is, you know, he's the newest Joseph Smith. I mean, who knows? Because this is, and some of these extra things that are sold by Chad and stuff. Okay, so these guys didn't come up with a lot of this stuff out of nowhere. Like a lot of like multiple probations, like some of this occult, like pendulum stuff, like. I know I'm saying like a lot. I'm sorry. I'm nervous. So, you know, but like this is all from a very, it's like Mormon mythology, I would say. It's loosely based out of somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if you dig, you can find evidence that Brigham Young was into the occult, or there had been at least incantations or some sort of things that the Mormon Church definitely doesn't want to be highlighted or brought out in any kind of way, shape, or form. But you know, I digress and I'm getting off track. It's just not that hard to understand once you know some of these people and that they really believe this stuff. Like, wholeheartedly, like, the way Joseph Smith, by the way, the story we just told about the Golden Tablets, the way he allegedly transcribed the hieroglyphics from the Golden Tablets was with the seer stone, which was a rock, and he put it into a hat, like a big top hat, with the Golden Tablet, and he would, you know, look through the rock, and he would translate from the tablet, and he would have a scribe write what he would say. And what's so interesting also, I don't know if you knew this part of the story, Kathy, but, you know, Moroni had him scribe the whole Book of Mormon. And then, you know, Joseph's like, oh, perfect. Here, publisher, take it. Send it off to the presses. Publisher takes it home to the wife. The wife's like, I don't know if I buy this Joseph Smith guy. Like, if he really is a prophet of God, why don't we just destroy this manuscript of his? And, like, he could just, you know, have God give him another one. So she destroys it because she thinks he's a heretic. Rightfully so. So, in my opinion, personal opinion. So it gets destroyed and the publisher goes back to Joseph Smith. Joseph, buddy, booby, bibby, pal. Bad news. The manuscript for the Book of Mormon that I was supposed to go get copied and published and all that. Yeah, my wife went ahead and she destroyed it. But it's okay because since you're a prophet of God and, you know, you and God are like super duper tight, like you could just produce another one. It'll be just like the exact same thing, kind of like the Bible, you know, it just pop out another one. So this is obviously a big issue. This was a big problem for old Joseph Smith. And so because now he had to, similar to like Chad and Lori, he had to come up with some sort of cover, you know, like when Chad's predictions didn't come true. Oh, somebody changed their agency, you know, somebody along the line changed their agency from the good side to the bad side. And so now the equations are different. And so the outcomes in my predictions didn't come true. Right. Similar. Very, very similar. So but this is back in the 1800s. So, you know, so Joseph Smith comes back to the publisher and says, you know, I talked to God and he was so mad that I trusted you with his word like that. He was so mad at me. But we worked it out, and he let me translate from a different golden plate. I translated from the Book of Nephi before. Now I'm going to translate from a different book, basically. Forgive me, LDS folks, for not having the exact book names correct. But essentially, it's basically, it's pretty much the same thing, but worded a bit differently. So right there, even in the 1800s, I'm sorry, your red flags have to go off. Like, what do you mean? It's like the Bible, right, Joseph? How come it's not the same exact copy as the first? Oh, that's right. You explained that away. Thus really truly begins the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The month of December was where we're at, 2018. That goes on. And Lori starts telling Melanie Gibb that she's having visions and dreams she's having of Charles dying and that he is meant to die. And so Lori's already got this figured out, that Charles is supposed to die. Obviously, it's all implanted by Chad.
Didn't he have similar dreams about Tammy as well?
Yeah, we've heard that before, too, that he had told Julie Rowe that Tammy was going to die, that Tammy's supposed to die. So they both have had these visions.
With family members like these, who needs enemies? Just saying.
This is true, right? Yeah. In January 22nd, 2019, Chad calls Lori and informs her of the prophecies he had of Charles now becoming a zombie. He claims that Charles' spirit has left his body and been taken over by an unclean spirit. Chad emails Lori and says, demon with the name of Nick Schneider. So now Lori has to believe that Charles isn't Charles. Charles is Nick or Ned Schneider.
Nick or Ned. Yeah, I've heard both. I've heard both.
I know. They go back and forth. He's either Nick or Ned.
Which is funny because, like, in my head, I keep thinking of Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. Like, family doodly neighbors, you know, like, totally this vision of, like, Ned Flanders. I'm like, Ned Flanders can't be a demon. He's Ned Flanders. But it's not funny. It's Ned Snipe. So, anyways, yeah. Totally crazy that, you know, and it was when you listen to some of just the story as the way Zulema or Melanie puts it, like, when somebody goes dark, it's like, I was having a rough day today with Tylee, so she's a dark bitch. Oh, excuse me. But you know what I mean? It was like, she was being a 16, 17-year-old brat, and she is one dark girl today. You know what I mean? Like, I just have a feeling from, you know, these people that as soon as you piss them off, like, you're dark. So, yeah. So, and now that there's new documents that were recently released, like we kind of mentioned, Chad researched Nick Schneider's death in Louisiana, which I thought was also interesting. He was looking for someone that he could prove to Lori was a dead guy with that name, apparently from the same area Charles is originally from. So now Lori has this in her head. She decided to tell Charles all about it in a phone call on January 29th, 2019. Smart lady. I know. Laura stated she was a god assigned to carry out the work of the 144,000 at Christ's second coming in July 2020. And if Charles got in her way, she would destroy him. And that, as we know, it means murder him. So yeah, good times. The next day on January 30th, 2019, Charles goes on a business trip to Houston, Texas. Another conversation between Lori and Charles, took place. Lori kept referring to Charles as Nick Schneider. When asked who is Nick Schneider, Lori replied that Nick Schneider was Charles's real name, and Nick Schneider had killed Charles, taken his identity, and that Lori warned that Charles, she warned Charles that she would kill him upon his return home, and that she had an angel there to help her dispose of his body. Lori's brother Alex had been told by Chad that he was Lori's angel assigned to protect her. So as we know, yeah, there was a little bit of a plan set up there, a little trap, maybe, if you would, set for someone to walk into. Wouldn't you say, Kathy?
Oh, yeah. Sounds like it. And it was definitely warned, but he thought she was just a little bit Looney Tunes. What's going on? But he, you know, he definitely had his feathers ruffled, like, okay, something's up here and this is not good.
Yep.
If you're enjoying the show and would like to support this show, please consider donating to Afterglow, Unveiling the Idaho Cult series. You can donate a few ways, and all the ways are down in the description below, including PayPal, Cash App, and Buy Me a Coffee. And no donation is too small. Thank you, and back to the episode. Charles has all this, knows Lori's warning him from the phone, like, I got an angel, somebody's going to protect me, you're a zombie, you're Ned Schneider, Nick Schneider, whatever the heck. And so Charles comes back on January 31st. He comes back to Gilbert, Arizona from his business trip in Houston. He arrives at the airport, but he finds out when he got to the airport in Houston that Lori had canceled his flight home. So he finally gets his flight changed. He departs Houston, lands in Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, and his truck is gone. So apparently Lori and her friend Melanie Gibb went to the airport and took Charles's truck. She also took $30,000 out of the business bank account, and he couldn't pay his employees for the payroll, had to miss payroll. He gets home to his house, and it's dark and quiet. Lori isn't taking his calls. The daughter, Tylee, isn't taking his calls. The nephew, Zach's not taking his calls. And no one is answering him.
Yeah, and I think that it's just so sad because this man loved his family. And you can see it, which we're going to review some of it. But you can just see it and you can hear it in his voice. And it's just so tragic. And that's, you know, really, I got to reiterate, that's why I made that one single video and put it up, because at the time there was so much traction around Justice for Tylee and JJ. And of course, and rightfully so, but you know, also, I think maybe it was on one of your either live streams or one of your videos was briefly pointed out, Kathy, that was like, you know, this guy did everything he could. He reached out to the system failed him at every step of the way, you know? And it just it was really tragic. So after getting home, you know, finding out pretty much all of this was pretty much a bad deal for him, Charles is able to get an order put in place to have Lori picked up and be mentally evaluated. And you can hear him explain this to the police officer.
Why don't you come over here? So what's going on tonight? I can't get in touch with my kids.
How old are your kids?
6 and a half and 16. Okay.
How long have you been trying?
2 days.
Okay.
But she's lost her mind. I don't know how else to say it. We're LDS. She thinks she's a resurrected being and a God and member of the 144,000. She's come. Jesus is coming next year. She took all the money out of her bank account today. My truck had gone from the airport. She went to the airport and got it. I just flew in from Houston, from Dallas. Houston and Dallas. So,
where's your truck?
I don't know. Okay. A friend of mine's truck picked me up. I went to the CSI to file a report, which is the community bridges or something, to file a report.
So you did, ordered, you did the petition?
Yeah, they ordered a pickup.
Okay. What time did you do that?
Hour and a half ago.
Okay. So what makes her a danger to herself and to others?
She threatened me, murdered me, killed me.
She threatened to murder you?
Yes. And she said,
how did she do that?
My bishop right there is in the car. He was on the phone with me today when she said, I will have you destroyed, is what she said there.
Okay, that's not a threat to kill you.
So this is right when he gets to the house and is locked out.
Yep, and the police officer's there.
So right there, he's explaining the pickup was ordered. He basically, you know, I feel like he articulated the situation very eloquently. Like, I understood what he was saying, and I'm not LDS. Like, even from an outsider's right. perspective, I kind of understood, like, the...
My wife has lost her mind. She took my truck.
Yeah.
She locked me out of my house. I went down to community bridges because she needs to be evaluated. Yeah. And really, that has nothing to do with being LDS.
No, exactly. Exactly. And it's just like...
And the cop's like, oh, I'm not LDS.
Yeah. So yeah. And that's ignorant, too, on his part to automatically lump totally. That in and say, oh, well, I'm not LDS. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that his wife has lost her mind. She drained his business banking account. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Right. So we see that. Did you want to review the how much of this do you want to?
Yeah, okay. Just okay. Keep going.
Let me play it.
Okay. Because I'm going to kill you too. I'm going to. Yesterday was.
So she's speaking as a spiritual being.
She's not here. She lost her reality.
Is this just all recent, or has it been going on?
Been going on for about 4 or 5 years. It's gotten really, really bad lately. She goes to the temple every day and speaks with Moroni and Jesus Christ.
I gotta pause it. Did you hear him say 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
I guess what really draw my attention to is I'm watching this video in CC. I like to watch things in CC sometimes with closed captioning because I will see stuff that I didn't see that before. 4 or 5 years.
But she's gotten really bad now. So she probably just was really searching, because something drew her to chat, right? So she was probably starting to really search into that kind of belief, these extra belief systems, and read the books and all that stuff. And that's probably what happened. Yep. She was already reading Chad's crap.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. And
I think she found a way to find Chad,
Exactly. And I think that she made a winning bet that if she could enter his orbit on the right angle, that mm-hmm. what had ensued happened to ensue. You know what I mean? Like, it's like people say, like, when these two met, it was like fire and gasoline. It was like an explosion, mm-hmm. These people just really set each other off, is kind of the thing. And I think that while that might be true, what's also really interesting is what you just said. Like, I think she put herself in Chad's path. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like wanting to meet your favorite, influencer, mm-hmm. and you happen to be into the same niche thing that they are or something.
Yeah, that's how my sister, when she was 15, met Axl Rose, because she was so obsessed with him. This is a total side story.
Yeah, it's a good example.
But she was 15, and she all of a sudden had my dad drop her off at Knott's Berry Farm with her friend, and they went to Knott's Berry Farm. Knott's Berry Farm is an amusement park in California. And So a couple days later, my sister's 12 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. Right? So she was 15. She had me drive her to the store because back then you had to develop pictures. And she had me take her to Rite Aid or wherever and get her pictures that she had dropped off. And she's like, look, her and her friend, there's Axl Rose. There's Axl Rose standing with me. We saw him. And I'm like, where did you find Axl Rose? They're like, what was really weird? We were bored at Knott's Berry Farm and we walked down the street and we recognized his car parked in front of a restaurant and we took a picture mm-hmm. with them. I'm like, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Turns out they literally took like 5 buses to LA and stood in front of Axl Rose's apartment or house until he came out. They're little stalkers, mm-hmm. you know, they're lucky they're alive.
Yeah.
But that was what I mean. Like they literally found a way to go meet this person.
Yeah. And I mean,
so there's Lori.
And there's Lori for Chad. She's got her sign. She's like, reminds me of being at a Justin Bieber concert, except for it's like Lori's in the crowd and Chad's up there on stage with his microphone saying his sweet nothings to all the sweet melodies in the crowd.
And Axl Rose is the lead singer from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, I know who he is. Yeah, he's ultra famous. Ultra famous, right?
Yeah. I know. And my sister at 15 tracked him down.
Oh my gosh. Wild. Yeah.
But that's what made me think of that because that's how Lori, she put herself in the path to find Chad probably because she had already been reading Julie Rowe books. And then Chad and Julie were, and if she was on AVOW, which is a whole nother story, she knew very well who he was and wanted to be
come
face to face.
Yeah. And to work with him on whatever missions that they could be assigned from God, apparently. Right. Yeah. I mean, cause that's, according to the documentation, it seemed to be playing out. You want me to play the rest of this interview?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I think it's really
okie dokie.
You know, she came here today and last couple of days she says, I'm not Charles. You're not Charles. You're Mick Schneider. I don't know where she gets his names from. She got all this stuff from these people in Utah who tell her how many past lives she's had and probation she's had. And she's was married to Moroni way back when and she was also married to James the Just. And
okay, this is all foreign to me. So
it's foreign to me.
Well, I'm not LDS.
It's crazy stuff.
I know you're using LDS terms here.
But she's nonsensical.
Okay.
And I haven't seen my.
Is he the older one or the younger one?
He's 6.5 years old.
Okay.
Okay. I want to do this now. You've got a pickup order. Am I correct?
We do.
Okay. If she doesn't answer,
mm-hmm.
what do we do?
If she doesn't answer, we can't enforce the order.
Can I break into my house?
Do you live here?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
My lease. I'm paying the lease.
Do you guys have any orders of protections against you?
No, we do not.
No police reports?
No, nothing.
Okay. So how does she pose a threat to your children?
I don't know what she's going to do with them. I don't know if she's going to flee with them. She's going to hurt them.
You don't even know if she's here, right?
Today on the phone. Yeah, all the cars are there. Garage is closed. I don't know. She locked the garage door.
I know.
Been up there yet?
I know. Hold on. Sorry. What I'm saying is, do you normally park 2 vehicles in the garage, inside the garage?
Correct.
Okay. So it's a possibility that her car and your truck are inside there?
I don't think she could fit my truck and her car at the same time. She may put them somewhere else. She said to me, all your stuff is gone. Charles' stuff is gone. You're not Charles. Your stuff is gone. I don't know what that
means. How long have you been trying to get in touch with the kids?
Since yesterday.
Yesterday, like last night or yesterday morning, or?
I landed in Houston Tuesday about 10.
Why did you leave?
There's a trip in Houston.
Okay, and when did you leave?
Tuesday morning about 5 a.m.
Okay, Tuesday. All right, wow, it's
Wednesday night.
So you left yesterday?
Yeah,
you left yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. Flew to Houston, mm-hmm. flew back today,
mm-hmm. tonight.
Tonight,
she canceled my flight, she came to the airport, took my truck.
Did she tell you that?
No, she knows the code. She knows where it's parked. She went.
Did she go with you to the airport?
No, but she's been. I go to the airport. I fly 45 round trips a year. Okay. She knows where I park. I've got handicap plates because JJ's handicapped.
Uh-huh. So, did you file a stolen vehicle report with Phoenix?
I know she took it.
How do you know? You suspect.
I suspect. Okay. Right. Your term. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Without concrete evidence, we can't say.
Can I just say? like, she is so bold, right? Like, to go and, like, steal his truck from, like, airport parking.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you think it's your husband, I mean, it's your husband's truck, she must think she had rights to it.
Yeah, but still, I mean, how effed up do you have to be? Like, even if you're fighting with your husband.
It's childish. It's
very childish. It's very friggin' childish. And, like, what purpose? I'm so curious if there'll be any forthcoming information with, you know, coming forward with different phones being exposed and stuff. Like, I'm curious to know some of the conversations that led up to her, like, okay, why did she think that, like, taking the truck was at all, like, the move? You know, I'm just curious, like, obviously nothing Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell has done makes a lot of sense to anybody, but, I mean, it just is just mind-numbing just how brazen she was. You know what? And how much time, energy, and resources you have to take two cars, a friend has to help you. You gotta go, you know what I mean? I'm sure Melanie Gibb was right there. Here, I'll help you. Hey, Lori, I'll help you. Don't worry. You can drive the truck and I'll drive your car. Let's go. We'll get him good. Hey, while we're at it, let's drain the business bank account $30,000.
Right?
I'll go ahead and resume the playback.
And she has the keys, the code, door code. And, I just want to see my boys okay, and she's got a pickup order. I need to go. She needs to go, and I'm going to take my stuff.
So you normally live here?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I live here. Okay. Yeah, all my stuff.
How many times does he have to ask him that question?
I know.
My daughter's in the front window right there.
So let me ask you this. When you came back, why didn't you just go to the home?
Because she told me not to come near it. All my stuff is gone. Okay. I'm not stupid. She could have done anything.
Okay.
I thought this would be the best way to do it. With what she's gone through and what Gabe witnessed with me on the phone today, I thought it was best to have her. She's psychologically, she's gone. Something's happened to her.
How old is she?
Okay. 30, can 40? He knows he's in danger. He's like, this is the smartest way for me to deal with the situation. He's like, because the cop's like, oh, well, why didn't you just come to the house after you finally got your situation sorted at the airport? He's like, because she's going to freaking murder me. Like, I listen to how smart Charles is telling this cop. He's like, look, she has lost her ish, completely gone off her rocker. You've got a pickup order. Listen to him. He's like, you've got a pickup order. As many times as this guy is asking him if he lives at this house, he's told this guy, you've got a pickup order for Lori Vallow, which is her. Find her, pick her up, get her into custody, and in the meantime, hand over my kid so I can make sure that he's fed and he's got his meds and he's safe.
Right. Yeah.
For sure.
I'm just very disappointed in this police officer.
I know, right? Rewatching it is maddening.
Mm-hmm.
45. So if we talk to her, is she going to be able to have a rational conversation with her?
Oh, she will. I'm sure she will. Okay. Yeah, she's...
She'll probably tell me I'm crazy. Is that what you suspect?
You're a dark spirit. That's what she's going to tell you.
Okay.
I'm a dark spirit. Gabe's with me. He's our bishop. He's going to be a dark spirit. Whatever that means. You're evil.
And you said this has been going on for like 4 years?
Well, it's to an extent, but it's gotten really bad the last several months.
Yeah, see?
And I've been trying to ignore it because hoping it'll get better.
Is she on any medications?
No. She won't do medications. She's
Has she been to the doctor?
She's translated.
She won't go to the doctor because she's a translated being, and they would find out she's translated. She cannot be killed. She cannot die.
And that's what she thinks?
Yes.
Okay. And she's been telling you.
And Gabe too.
Okay.
He heard this, not just me.
Did you want to cover, like, what translated beings are? Or? Okay.
Yes.
I pulled it up. So, I guess we'll just go ahead and jump back in right here. So, all right. They just brought up a really interesting point in the video about how Lori will not go to a medical facility because if she did, they would discover that she is a translated being. So what does this all mean? Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm so excited. Just like Melanie Gibb is such an excited teacher, and she's so excited to teach and present information about the Book of Mormon to everybody else, I am also excited, just like her. You can tell I'm being super sarcastic. So anyways, enough with that. So it says here that Latter-day Saint scriptures speak of a unique class of beings, persons whom the Lord has translated or changed from a mortal state to one in which they are temporarily not subject to death, and in which they experience neither pain nor sorrow, except for the sins of the world. Such beings appear to have much greater power than mortals. All translated beings will eventually experience physical death and resurrection. Translation is a necessary condition in special instances to further the work of the Lord. It goes on to say translated beings are not resurrected beings, though all translated beings either have since been or yet will be resurrected or changed in the twinkling of an eye, quote unquote, to a resurrected state. In effect, this last change is their death, and they therefore receive what amounts to an instantaneous death and resurrection. Resurrection is a step beyond translation, and persons translated prior to the resurrection of Christ were resurrected with him. Interesting. It is expected that those translated since Christ's resurrection will be resurrected at his second coming. So has to do with Resurrection Day a little bit. So I thought that was really interesting. And basically, they don't need to eat. They're basically assigned special ministries from God. Some remain among the mortals, as seen in the case of John and the three Nephites.
And this is an actual mainstream LDS belief. Mm-hmm. Translated. Mm-hmm. Okay. That isn't.
Yeah. Chats. No, this is not.
That's a real.
Yeah. LDS so, belief. And that's okay. Great for you to point out, because, you know, like, if you aren't LDS, how would you really know from an outside perspective, how would you know if this is Chad Daybell speaking or Joseph Smith or the Book of Mormon, you know? So, mm-hmm. But yeah, this is mm-hmm. actually from the Book of Mormon, and it's LDS Church doctrine. I'm getting this off of BYU's website under eom.byu.edu /translated_beings. Anyway.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Go back just a tad, because
yeah,
I want to
go back
on the bit where he starts to say how because he's so sad here. This just really shows you the heart.
Okay. She's been telling me.
And getting to it. Okay. He heard this, not just me. This isn't coming. I love her to death. This is a sheriff's officer.
Oh, I can understand.
Our 13th anniversary is next month. We've been at a great marriage. All of a sudden, the last month, it just blew up. Mm-hmm. She just lost connection.
Okay. Has she made any statements about wanting to hurt the children or anything?
Today, she said with Gabe on the phone, come take the kids. I don't care what happens to them. Come take them.
Okay, but she didn't make a direct threat towards the kids. No, not a threat. And then she said that she would murder you through a spiritual.
No, she said, I can murder you.
I can murder you. And she's talking in a spirit.
I will kill you.
Spiritual.
No, she talks in physically. I will kill you because you're not Charles and nobody will care.
Okay. So she at this point doesn't think you are her husband?
She thinks I'm Nick Schneider.
Who's Mick Schneider?
I have no idea. Okay. It's the name she used.
Why does he have to explain it to him multiple times?
I'm as bewildered as you are.
I know.
This is so far.
This is really frustrating.
Right? Why is this cop not paying attention to what he's saying? Like, why does he have to keep repeating himself multiple times? So frustrating.
It should have just been, I have an order. Pick her up. She's lost her mind. Right? Seriously. Right. You're not in charge, mister. You're just
And I get the feeling, the vibe from this cop, like, he's put out. Like, he can't be bothered. Like, oh, my God. Like, I've got to go deal with this domestic violence crap right now. Like, come on. I need to be... like working on a speed trap somewhere. Give me a break. Okay, let me go ahead and play the rest of this.
I'm concerned, but you know, this happens. It just drives me. I don't know what to do. I need help, and she needs help. She needs help. And I'll go to bed. I got a lot of stuff to do tomorrow. I got to take my son.
And you just didn't want to go inside because of the statements that she made.
She took my car and my keys. I suspect she took my car and my keys. I have no keys to get in.
Oh, okay.
No garage door opener.
Okay.
She knows what she's doing. She took $35,000 out of our bank account today. I can't make payroll Friday for my company. It's just, she changed our bank account numbers. I had to change it myself to get back in, and I saw all the money's gone.
Changed my bank account number?
$7
that's,
to my name.
That's pretty severe.
I missed that too.
That's pretty severe.
She changed the bank account numbers.
Like wow. That's like, I mean,
that's the first time I noticed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, I mean, me too. Like, because I've had that happen in the past. Like, because somebody, like, somehow stole a check. And, you know, once they have your routing and your checking account number, you're screwed. And so, and it was not an easy process for Charles.
No. Oh, my gosh.
So, what's your first name again?
Charles.
Charles lives here with his wife and two children. Charles was away on business.
Third nephew upstairs. His name is Zach. He's 19. He's our nephew. He can stay with us.
Have you tried to call him?
He won't call me back either.
Why won't he call you back?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's what I'm worried about. I hope they're okay, but I don't know.
Why is this cop? Why? What do you mean, cop? So, he's telling you the whole situation. She's clearly sabotaging the hell out of him to the point of where he needs a police escort at the front of the premises. Ugh.
And then the other one, did you hear he just said it's valid? So was he not believing that this was an actual order to pick her up? Like he's really
like why did he have to, stalling? What, was it going to be a fake order or a counterfeit order? What the hell?
Maybe he was stalling to get the other guy to come verify it. I don't
Perhaps.
Know. Weird. So
his question is, he lives here. There's no orders against either one of them. If we can't make contact.
Let us in. Now we're doing a 6-7 check. I don't know how to get in. Actually, I have to break the window. I could try to.
Where I was going with this, he was in Houston on a business trip, and then he flies back in to Sky Harbor, and his truck's gone. He suspects that she went there and took the truck. He doesn't know.
He's my wallet in it. So.
All right. So, all right. Is this house or the one with the flashing lights?
Right there.
On the side of the road.
Oh, where those palm trees are?
Yeah. Got the key code on the garage. I don't know if they changed it or not. I think I know the code. We just moved up January 1st. And Gabe Bonilla here lives right down the corner. He will tell you if you were on the phone with her today with me. I passed it in, and she said all that stuff.
So that was him saying, I had my bishop on the phone, or did he say Gabe Bonilla? On the phone, and he heard her say all this stuff. So basically, he's saying, by the way, Mr. Police Officer, if you need somebody to corroborate this information I'm giving you, since you obviously don't believe me and are asking me to repeat myself 700 times, here's a person who lives on this block named Gabe Bonilla. Use your little handy-dandy detective notebook. Write that clue down, detective, and go ask Mr. Bonilla some questions about... All right.
Yeah.
I'll go... Do you want me to go back and playing it, or do you want to comment? Okay.
No, I agree with you. Like, this cop, every time I hear this, it just frustrates me.
Yeah, I know.
She does?
Right.
Does she know how to use it?
I don't know if she knows how to use it.
So he was asking about a firearm?
Yeah.
Thank goodness Lori and Chad weren't big gun nuts.
Oh, right. Well,
you have an alarm system.
It didn't need to be that, Alex.
Like that kind of... yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Like that kind of extremist, like the guy from the Las Vegas shooting.
There you go.
Oh, that would be a recipe for disaster.
Cars are all gone. She is gone.
He's trying to break in the inside door from the garage now.
Yeah, so for people listening, not able to see, Charles is able to get the code on the garage door outside to work, but then on the interior from the garage into the home, he's unable to get that door open because it's locked.
via what appears to possibly be a deadbolt.
You have a place in here, like, you might have taken off somewhere?
All four cars are gone.
Oh, yeah, four cars.
Yeah. My daughter has one. Zach, her nephew, has one. I have no copy. She has an infinity. I don't know about that.
Who's the oldest? You have the right to force entry, so. Who's the oldest child?
Tyler, I've got three in college. So they're gone.
Who lives here?
That's Tyler, the oldest. 16. Zach is 19. He's our nephew. He's living here.
Okay. And you tried calling him?
Yes.
Why won't he answer?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
Why isn't the police call Zach? Why isn't he right? Saying, hey, give me Zach's number, because I'm pretty friggin' sure Zach would have answered if the police were calling his phone.
Right?
Literally, like yeah. Obviously.
Gilbert Police Department. You know, that's weird.
And, yeah. Or at least the stakes would have changed. Like, Lori can tell Zach, hey, if Charles calls, don't answer it. Because that's her husband. Like, whatever reason she can come up with to sell Zach. And I even think he, in his interview, kind of said she was, you know, had us all believing that, you know, Charles was evil and all kinds of bad things about him and stuff.
No, I think what happened was Zach was like, this was all craziness going on. So he left and went and spent the night at a friend's house. And he said he was actually sleeping when Charles was trying to call him.
He didn't get these messages. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
But mm-hmm. I'm just thinking it, you know, if that were the context, like, because, you know, if she did have some sort of control over family members, having a third party, like a friggin' police officer, you know, I think like, just like when the police finally showed up in Rexburg, and, you know, which we're going to get to someday, at this rate, never, but soon in the near future, hopefully. But yeah, like, it's almost like every time the police show up, it's like a deer in the headlights moment. It's like almost like that Duper's Delight just... Duper's Delight, Lori has it because you can see her play these cops. But there's like a few tense moments where the police show up later on. We're going to see. And it's like deer in the headlights where some of these people where I feel like if the police would have gotten involved, like a lot of these people, some of these like Charles just said, the neighbor, Mr. Bonilla, whatever, the bishop. If the police were engaging some of these other witnesses earlier on, like they would have had so much more to go on. But they didn't even bother, you know.
Yep.
If there's a key to the justice gate, you have to pull the back door.
So they're basically, you know, the podcast can't see. They're trying to figure out a way to get in the house because Charles is locked out.
Yeah, you'll have to call. It was at Sky Harbor, right? You'll have to call Phoenix Police, and they'll get all your information. You don't have a hidden key?
No, it's in the house.
Okay. So it's not hidden.
JJ can open it, but we have to put those locks really
clean. Understand.
So it's not hidden. You think he would have probably went to the hidden key first thing, huh?
Right.
Gosh.
Very well
trained. He wouldn't leave you here.
What police academy did you go to? You need to go back.
He just can't be bothered, you know?
No.
He's just like, I gotta get back to like whatever the hell I was doing.
Donuts.
Just check the windows, and if it's not locked, come back.
So it's January, and it's at night. It's at 7:36 in the evening. Maybe it's cold. I'm just trying to figure out what the reason for this cop.
Probably not. No, I mean, it's Phoenix.
Yeah,
you know?
I just am trying to figure out.
If it's cold, it's not that
Yeah,
cold,
like, what's this guy's issues? He's so bothered. How come nobody wants to do their job? So they're just searching the premises on the outside of the perimeter while he makes the determination whether he's going to break an entering into the house by, like, busting a window or something.
Yeah.
Which I think he does, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to... They don't help him, but...
Yeah. Which I kind of don't blame him. If you want to break your own stuff. Go ahead, but I'm not going to do it.
No, look at Mr. Orders.
Yeah, actually, I would have helped him. Okay, I would have just helped. They should have helped him. So we're watching poor Charles try to kick in the door.
Oh my gosh. Poor guy. When you think about
these
deadbolt
police officers, man.
Don't break anything, Charles. I mean, like, yeah, your body.
Don't break yourself.
Oh my goodness.
I guess, is he going to go get Gabe's help?
I wonder where they were on this, because it was New Year's Eve.
They're in Gilbert. No. January 31st.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, where was Lori? Was she at the Residence Inn or whatever?
I believe so. They were at the hotel. Hiding.
You don't have a dog door?
Oh my god. Dumbest questions.
She's taking my son. If he's out of school tomorrow, I have no choice. He's gonna be, I don't know what she's done. Nobody will call me.
Yeah, and this fucking police officer is not gonna help you either. Oh, sorry, I swore. I'm so sorry.
No, you're loud. You're allowed on podcasts, actually. You can swear all you want.
I still want to be...
Because it's already labeled explicit. Oh,
well, good, in case I mess up. But I still want to be... classy.
Gotcha. A little swearing here and there will hurt you. It's a bad situation.
Yeah, true. Finally, somebody helps him.
Yay. Okay, you got it open, everyone.
Yay, yes. So the police...
You want us to enter the home, right?
Police. Bust open the door.
Somebody in the house?
They make the entering. Nobody appears to be here. I think this is really sad because we get to see... Is this a video where we see the kids' rooms?
Police department?
I don't know. It's all blurry.
Yeah, this guy's body cam is hella blurry.
Here, just hang tight right there.
What's that?
Just hang tight right here.
Is his stuff gone? I can't remember.
Yeah, they said empty shelving, so...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe so... Oh, they blurred it intentionally for us. Mm. Like, redacted.
Is this room clear? Does it go through? It just goes
through. And this cop is really obsessed with the house key. He's still talking about that house key.
I thought you said it was inside. The hidden one.
Yeah.
I think he said she took the computer, so that was
It says she took his computer. As we saw, you know, Charles gets home, gets the PD involved, basically has them, you know, help him look through the house. Then, the next day, he has another interaction with police in Chandler, Arizona.
And just a sidebar here, in case you didn't catch it. Charles was at their house the night before. Lori wasn't there. He broke in. They weren't there. The next morning, which is where we're at now, he went to the school when she was dropping JJ off. He went in her car and got her wallet and therefore the key to where they're staying at this residence inn or whatever. So that's how he knew where she was. And he called the police to meet him there so that they could take her for this evaluation.
So this is where we believe Lori was staying at the,
That's what it was.
What type of hotel is this? Residence Inn or something. Yeah. So, and then also one thing that's really interesting to know is this woman here is LDS. So, it's just informational. I mean, I found it rather informational that, not information, I found it rather interesting that she observes the fact that they're both LDS and that Lori's belief system has gone off the rails, but then she just kind of omits it and moves on. She doesn't really investigate it or peel back any layers or ask any real investigative questions surrounding what is it about Lori Vallow's LDS beliefs really that make her so crazy. You know what I mean? Instead, she just kind of plows on past it.
And here's one thing that I think is a lesson to all of us when it comes to police officers. They are not detectives. They don't necessarily have critical thinking skills. They have a job. And I think that's where it sort of most of the time stops, you know? And that, which is really sad, because I'm sure there's a lot of them that have stopped tragedies from happening by, you know, listening to their gut and letting their, like, go, okay, wait, this is way wrong. Yeah. But I feel like I've seen this a lot in normal my life, you know, where they're just like, yeah, what? Yeah, you're just here for the, you know.
Yeah.
They literally are not taking you seriously for something big that's
right,
happening.
Right. So, totally agree.
I mean, my brother-in-law is a police officer, you know, so I'm not dissing police officers, but I'm just saying that we still have to be the squeaky wheel, just like with any kind of customer service.
Right.
You really have to insist when you know that you're right and this is bad, you know, call a supervisor.
Yeah.
Go up the ladder.
Yeah. And it's
just like any.
And I mean, you know, I guess that it is easy, like, to play armchair detective and go, oh, yeah, you know, they missed all these major things, you know. And, right. And I get that a lot of people are doing that, especially with the Gabby Petito case. And, you know, that's just like been the theme lately, I guess, to do is just armchair detective all these cases. And so I by no means I'm not trying to really throw shade, except for that one officer that we just watched. I will be honest, his questions were really damn annoying. He was not helpful. Yeah. And like you said, like, I mean, they're not, like you said, detectives, but they still have a job to do, and there is still some sort of human customer service aspect to it, to when you're trying to help somebody who's trying to locate his child who is possibly the victim of a heinous crime. You know, maybe you could be a little bit more engaged and stop, like, having, you know, such basic questions such as, do you have a dog door, and asking, is there a hidden key 17 times in a row? Like, you know?
Well, yeah. And I see this in my profession as a registered nurse. I have patients that call me, case manager, right, all the time. And their doctor doesn't take them seriously, or they're complaining about this or that. And I'm like, you know your body. You know yourself. You need to go back to the hospital.
Yep.
Like, go back, you know? And it's the same kind of thing. Well, they told me to go home. Well, no, but it doesn't matter because they're only humans too. And they maybe didn't quite get, you know? So same thing.
So let's watch.
Okay. So they're in front of the hotel.
You think she's what?
Married to Morona, top of the temple.
Angel. Angel, LDS.
Angel. They don't let me in there.
He says.
And did you see how she kind of waved? So, for those of you that are listening, the female officer kind of waves her right hand, kind of like, you don't even want to hear about this story. Like, you don't have time for this. And
the other guy says, they don't let me in there.
Yeah.
They don't let it.
And again, we are talking about, like, and you can see the look on Charles's face in this video is a look of a concerned parent. And I'm not a parent, but you can tell this man is a very concerned parent, you know?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I didn't mean
to. Okay, go ahead. It's fresh. No, it's just fresh.
It is.
Now that we know,
right,
you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a prophet. He knows it. She knows she's about it. She'd be so blown on Jesus Christ. Face to face in the temple every day. I've tried to support her as much as I could, but it's gotten really, really bad. She's had a break. She says, I'm Nick Schneider. I've taken over Charles's body, and Charles has been killed. I'm going to kill you. You're going to be murdered today or tomorrow. I'm going to have, I can do it. I'm going to have my priest with my power. She has priesthood blessing. She does.
So who's so Nick Schneider?
So similarly to what we saw in the first go around, he explains the entire thing, and like she like nods and is like seems to be understanding everything he's telling her. And then
everybody's caught up on Nick Schneider name, you know.
So hold on a second. Who is Nick Schneider? He's like, I just told you, like, I feel so bad for him. Like, if anybody would have just listened to him for 5 seconds, they would have been like, oh my gosh, this lady is crazy. We need to lock her up.
I'm sorry,
it's so funny, though, because, I mean, it's like, just like the same thing, like, we saw in this.
Poor Charles. Oh, oh my God.
Poor Charles. Okay, I'm going to play it.
But he's not at church.
She's not. She took my truck from the airport last night when I flew in. She canceled my flight. I got a ticket. I took him home. I got a 6-year-old with special needs.
Right. And he's safe at school somewhere.
Right. Okay. For now. She knows I'm here. She's going to go get it.
Okay. What car? What is she driving?
A Dodge Infiniti Crescent.
And it, you've looked all through the parking lots.
Do you have the license plate on that?
It's KDM 62 or 63 or 67. Handicap. Okay.
Nothing in the pen. There it is.
Spot on memory, too.
I just never thought she would do anything. She's just lost touch with me. I'm not me. She yells. She's just, it's just, she's like,
I'm assuming you guys have phones. Is that an iPhone? Have you, are you able to track to see where her phone is right now? Her iPhones? Oh, your phone. Now, how did you get her phone?
Because it was in the car this morning when she went to school. Took the keys out of her cell so she couldn't leave. That's why I called you guys.
Okay.
Somehow she has this at the keys in there. With my dog. And so, I don't know she, I saw this in her purse. I don't think she's here. She would have given the key to the room. Maybe you guys would come with me. See.
We can't just go in. If you're not allowed to go in, we can't either. We can Okay, that's going to be
up. I have a question. Like, don't they read the case file before they show up on these things? Like, you know, like, I just feel bad that he's having to re-explain this entire scenario. Like,
right. And he has the order to pick her up. Oh, we can't go in.
Right.
Well, you can't come with me to the knock on that door of that hotel.
Right. What's up with that? It's you.
It
if you can't or you won't. I think it's probably you. You won't. Like you can't. You can't barge your way in. We understand that. You can go with me to knock on the
into
door.
The room,
yeah.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Them if they allow you to go in. We can't now. You guys are married, so there shouldn't be. No, we're waiting for right now. What we're doing is my sergeant wanted to get information from you. I was about to call you, but then Gary said you were here. We are just going to wait a second. My sergeant. They're on our way, on their way, because we have a sergeant training. So they're going to be here. They have the paperwork. So if she is here, we knock on the door. She's here. That's why we need the paperwork in hand. Okay. So we can take her.
Well, that makes sense.
Tell me again, real quick.
Okay.
What's her first name?
Lori.
And tell me again about the vehicle. It's a Black Infiniti.
Black
Infiniti QX80. And try that license plate again.
KDM.
KDM.
62. It's KDM something.
KDM 62,
yeah. 63, something
67.
Like handicap plate.
Handicap.
I feel like that's plenty of information for them to find that.
Is it registered
plate.
To you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Spell your last name again. V.
Victor A L L O W.
Vallow?
Okay.
Okay. That's an SUV that you're describing, right? Okay, I know what it is.
I'm going to go check and see if I can go in there, and I'll be right back. Okay, sir.
Okay. Also, find out if they'll give you permission to go into that room.
He has the key. He probably took it from Lori, because remember, he took her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would, if I wouldn't even ask. I would just use it. That's just me, though.
But Charles is nicer than us.
Well, you know she's using his credit card to pay for that room.
He's thinking that he would be able to get in the room. And I said, that's up to you and that's up to the hotel. That's not what we do. So I told him that we're waiting.
It seems like to me, like they don't want to apprehend Lori or even bother with like doing this mental health check, right?
Well, yeah. And, you know, sneak preview for when she actually goes in and talks to the police station. You guys will be really surprised on how they really give her tricks and tips on how not to go do that.
Right, exactly. Like, if you don't really want to do this evaluation, all you got to do is not come.
Not answer the door. Right.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. I'll play the rest of this.
That's on the next
show. That'll be on the next show.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got going on right now. He thinks she's still staying here just for the reason is that he was able to grab that key out of her purse in the car at that school in Central Area, wherever that school was. Yeah, I'll give you just what she's saying and the reason the 909 came out. Yeah, we'll go ahead and do that. We're going to, you know, how about we all meet back at the car? We are on the north side of that home, too, which is just west of this building. It's the other hotel. We'll all meet right there. All right, we'll see you in a minute. Okay, so if his truck is gone, how did he get here?
I have no idea. He didn't tell me that. By the way, I have that tour at 10 o'clock.
Oh, okay. All right, well, we'll go. He wants a sidebar before we do it. Where did he go?
He went back in to find out whether or not they'll give him permission to enter into that room.
No, I don't want him going to that.
He's not going to the room.
Let's go back over to our cars. They'll be here in just a minute or two. And we need to do a powwow.
Okay.
So.
I'll meet you over there. I'm just going to tell him, because he's gone to the lobby. I just want him to know he needs to wait around here so we can find him.
The big thing, okay, so she wants to marry Mariah, which is great, fantastic, fine, and dandy. That's not as bad as the UFO thing. Yeah.
Me too.
The European thing.
No, the UFO thing.
I'm going to go off.
The UFO thing.
That's not as bad as the UFO thing.
Yeah, I hear the UFO thing.
Mariah, which is great, fantastic, fine, and dandy. That's not as bad as the UFO thing. Yeah.
I'm going to go off. Or the U of O. U of O, what's U of O?
University
of Oregon. Is there like some sort of?
I don't know what she's talking about. That was a cliffhanger right there.
And they shut it off. They're like, well, let's shut this off.
Yeah, she wants to marry Moroni, but you know, there's worse things.
Yeah, you know, it's like, what do you mean? What are you talking about, lady? That's pretty bad. Because I mean, hindsight.
Because fast forward. Yeah.
Jeez. Stick around for episode 5, Charles Vallow, part number 2, where we'll discuss further the details of this tragedy as it plays out, or had played out, in the Chandler and preceding areas, which has covered a lot of ground, covered a couple states, right? Utah, Idaho. I think the only one it didn't
keep song only going.
Only case, like it didn't no Colorado, no Wyoming. Okay.
Yep.
So three states.
The whole western half.
Pretty much. States. I mean, I think if these people would have kept going, it would have been. But yeah, yes. Yes.
I mean, you know, and when I started my part ones and twos, that was taking place in Texas with Joe Ryan being fighting with Lori in the custody battle and all that mess. Like I said before, we are truly just getting started.
We really are. The good stuff is just what's been dumped. And I'm, like I told you the other day, it's exciting to let other people kind of sift through and kind of pull out the nuggets and then kind of review some of it on a higher level. It's just been so much information. And I'm so excited that you've had me come on your show to help you go over all of this information, because it's so much information.
It's overwhelming. So yeah, we're just getting started. Say stay safe, be kind. Thank you, Robbie, for
absolutely.
All your help on this case
absolutely.
And for co-hosting with me.
I can't wait till and we do our next episode. This has been so much fun.
So thank you, and we will see you soon, or hear you will hear us soon. Theme music, Not Forgotten, by Dan Lebowitz. Produced, edited, narrated by me, Kathy Brooks, and Robbie. Are you using your last name?
No, I'm not using my last name on the internet, but thank you so much for asking. yes, you can just call me Robbie, and it's just Robbie. Robbie. Yeah, it's just Robbie. That's why my name is It's Just Robbie, because it makes it easy.
That's it. Perfect. Have you been considering starting your own podcast? I use Buzzsprout. It's easy and professional. They will get your podcast into every major podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google, and more. You can start today with the gear you already have and a quiet space. You'll get a great looking podcast website, audio players that you can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening, tools to promote your episodes, and more. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. I'm very happy with Buzzsprout, and I know you will be too. Follow the link in the show notes below. That lets Buzzsprout know we sent you. Also, it gets you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan. And it helps support our show here at Afterglow, Unveiling the Idaho Cult.